All right, and it is time for our Green Setup program brought to you by Green Acres here on the Mighty 690. We get to talk with folks from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcats District. And joining us in studio, we have Wendy Powell. Good morning, Wendy. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
Hey, doing well. So I know it's finally warming up a little bit. We got all 13 degrees, so that's warm compared to what we've been having.
Yes, looking forward to later today.
Yeah, that is right. So, and I know that, you know, this is, we're getting into some of this calving season and everything, and not great weather for that.
No.
It's just, I know a lot of producers out there have been a little stressed.
Yes, it's very cold. It's hard to keep water out there for the livestock, and yes, it's a challenge.
So, yep, that's just how it goes some of these years. So, hey, before we get into our topic here today, I know that we do have a few events that you want to highlight.
Yes. So, on February 3rd at the Parsons Southeast Research and Extension Center, we're going to do a QuickBooks training. It's a beginner's training geared towards farmers and ranchers. But anybody interested in learning a little bit more about QuickBooks is welcome to join us. Call the Independence Extension office for more information or visit our Facebook page or our website. All of the details are there. Then we're also on February 6th going to have a Radon Know Your Risk program here in Coffeyville. That is, it's something in your house that if you want to learn more about testing for radon in your house, that is the place to go. And I won't talk much about the OCAN Cattle Conference because that's what we're going to discuss most of the day, but then we also have Animal Health Day slated for March 7th, and that will be held in Independence. So lots of good events coming up and more on the way.
Okay, well, very good stuff. So yeah, I know you wanted to talk about here in the segment a little bit on that upcoming cattle conference and everything, and also maybe a little beef quality assurance. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, so the OCAN Cattle Conference, this is the second year for that program, and it's a collaboration between K-State Research and Extension Wildcat District and Washington County OSU Extension. So Kennedy McCall is the educator down there, and her and I have been working together to provide this program, moving it around across the border every other year to bring Oklahoma and Kansas producers together, just to share information, collaborate, network, all those good fellowship vibes there. So this year, the conference is going to be held at the Coffeyville Rec Center, and we have an excellent lineup of speakers. So we're going to have Dr. Meredith Jones. She is a large animal veterinarian that specializes in education for other vets. She's known for her down-to-earth way of teaching and is a phenomenal speaker. So she's going to be coming in to visit with us, and that will be great just on her part. But then the highlight is going to be our BQA training. So BQA is Beef Quality Assurance. And really what this is kind of a cattle handling quality assurance situation for producers. So whenever those animals leave their premise and the owner has been stamped by BQA, then anybody that follows those animals throughout the industry knows that that animal has been well cared for, proper vaccinations, good handling methods, things like that. So it's a quality assurance for the cattle industry. So everybody's familiar with the quality assurance concept, and so this is just how we can apply it to our industry.
So what's the difference between, you know, BQA certification and USDA certification?
So USDA certification, if you're referring to like meat products.
Yeah, meat, for instance. Yeah.
Okay, so that is going to be at the processing facility. USDA has inspected that meat product for safety. So as the carcass goes down the line in the processing facility, then USDA says, yep, it's safe and wholesome to eat. BQA is more what happens on the farm, you know, moving animals from pasture to pasture, moving them from the working facility to wherever they're going for summer grass. So it's for the live animal.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. And, you know, be applicable to different people, depending on, you know, what their operation looks like.
Yep, absolutely.
So why is a, what's the reason to get BQA certified?
So a lot of times, just the information in and of itself is just great, even if you don't need to advertise that you're BQA certified. But if you are selling your beef to anybody else, I know there's a ton of Facebook posts about, hey, I've got half a beef available. Hit me up if you need something like that. Anything along those lines, then your customers will know that those animals have been treated properly, well cared for, things like that.
So what does the process look like to actually get certified?
So we will have Dr. AJ Tarpoff coming in, and he is going to go through the curriculum. It's about a two-hour course, and then and it's a presentation style. So he'll have lots of visual aids and good discussion. You can ask questions, and folks will be able to collaborate. Then there'll be an exam. It's not difficult. And then the names are listed with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So it's a it's a national program. It's state implemented. So each state has its own implementation process. And Kansas and Oklahoma, they're both done by the beef councils of their respective states. So Kansas Beef Council will be present with us at the conference on the 9th. And they'll be facilitating the exam and making for sure all the paperwork is done. So then you get a certificate in the mail, and it's something you can put on the wall or advertise with your business, whatever you need to do.
So there's not necessarily for this like a facility inspection, if you will. They're not going to be looking around your operation.
Correct.
Okay.
No, they won't. This is just the training that you obtain off-site.
Sure. Kind of like a food handler's card or that sort of thing. You know, it's similar to that sort of training and testing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there is another way to become BQA certified. If you're not able to attend the program on the 9th, then this is offered, the certification is offered online through a series of modules that you can go through on your own time and at your own pace.
Gotcha. No, very good on that. So as far as, you know, what about continuing education? Is there any sort of option for that?
So a lot of times veterinarians would like to go through this just to get their continuing education points. But as a farmer or rancher, we don't really have requirements of getting our certain number of hours, like a teacher or a doctor. But it does count if you are working on some facility that where the director is requiring that sort of thing. This would count.
Gotcha. Now, as far as the cost goes, what does that look like?
There is no cost for this. This is going to be free. The event on the 9th is sponsored by the Kansas Beef Council. They are very enthusiastic about getting the information into the hands of producers to make for sure that our livestock is being taken care of well. So whenever programs are held in Oklahoma, that all goes through the Oklahoma Beef Council. This program is sponsored across the nation by the Beef Checkoff. So whenever you sell any animal, any cattle, then you have to give a certain amount to the Beef Council. I'm sorry, to the Beef Checkoff. And the checkoff dollars then fund these sorts of educational programs.
And we hear a lot about the Beef Checkoff and, you know, some of our farm news and that sort of thing. But for some folks who may not be completely familiar, can you explain a little bit what is the actual checkoff? It seems kind of nebulous sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of I hate to use the word tax, but it's similar to that fee. You know, whenever you take a cow or a bull to the sale barn, then there's certain commissions that the sale barn takes. There's yardage. You know, if you take the animal up the night before, then the sale barn has to water and put hay out for that animal so that it's well cared for through the night and before the sale. So that sort of thing is some of those fees that we know they're there. We just accept them. And the beef checkoff is one of those that I don't know how much it is. It's been a dollar per head. Don't quote me on that.
Sure.
But it's not a huge fee for sure. But all of that money gets put together, and the beef councils use those funds for educational opportunities for producers, but then also for educating consumers. So you're probably familiar with the Where's the Beef slogan. Any time that there's a commercial on the TV or radio for cooking beef or purchasing beef, all of that is sponsored and paid for by the Beef Checkoff. So all of those dollars benefit producers in the end, educating consumers as well.
Sure. Yeah. You know, just helping the industry out in general, you know, everyone just paying just that little bit into it.
Yes.
To be able to, you know, tell the story of these producers and the beef industry in general.
Yes, so. Exactly. And lots of other species have this sort of program. There's a pork checkoff. There's a lamb checkoff. I'm not so sure about meat goats. They're a little more Wild West out there. But they do have formalized programs, and they're for the same things as for education of the public,
sure,
producers and consumers.
Gotcha. So back to this BQA certification, how long is this going to be valid for?
The certification is valid for 3 years, and then you can renew either online or attend another in-person training.
Excellent. So for the folks just joining and maybe curious and want to go ahead and, you know, attend and get this beef quality assurance, where can they do that? And just go through maybe the details again of this upcoming conference.
Sure. Yeah. So the event is going to be February 9th at the Rec Center here in Coffeyville, Walter Johnson Park. And we are going to begin the program at, I believe it says 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we'll have a speaker, and then we're going to have a nice lunch and lots of great information, opportunity to network with some industry leaders. And then the Kansas Beef Council will be doing the beef quality assurance training. So details can be found on our Facebook page. We've got an event set up on there. Check out our website. Give me a call at the Altamont office. I can throw that number out for you, 620-784-5337. I'll be happy to visit with anybody.
And do people need to register for this by a certain date?
Yes, we are planning to feed you. So if we do ask that you do register, and the registration information is available on the flyer, on the
looks like 31st of January.
Thank you. Yep. Yes. That way we can get the meal count to the caterer so we have enough food.
Always an important one. But hey, you know, it can't be a free learning opportunity here. You know, this is one of those times where, you know, we got a little lull in some of our work here. You can stop on by and, you know, 4 hours, not too bad, mm-hmm. and get some good information there.
And lunch.
So we like that. It's some good stuff. So, well, Wendy, let's see. I think we have you for another segment.
Yes.
So what do you want to talk about next?
We're going to talk a little bit about biosecurity coming
okay.
up.
Okay. Good stuff. So that is on the way here on the Mighty 690 KGGF as we continue Green Side Up here on our program. So we are looking forward to that. We do have 36 degrees. That's going to be our high today. Dropping down to 20 tonight. And then upper 30s again tomorrow. So we'll take that warmer weather as we get a little bit further into January. So we have 13 degrees right now on Mighty 690. And news coming up here on KGGF. Back here on the Mighty 690 at 8:10. And we are joined once again by livestock production agent Wendy Powell. Good morning once again, Wendy.
Hello.
So we talked a little bit last segment here about the OCAN Cattle Conference, and going to continue a very important topic here, the biosecurity.
Yes. So when it comes to livestock operations, biosecurity is one of those things that sometimes we just don't take time to think about or check those boxes. So I just wanted to mention a few things. I know some folks are have more chores to do in the cold weather, but if you're one of those fortunate few that have some spare time and you're just avoiding the cold weather, then maybe some of your brain power can be put to your biosecurity protocol on your farm. So whenever you're bringing in new animals, wherever they're from, you want to make for sure that you're not just dumping those in with whatever group of animals you are already have set up. So let's say that you've got some bred heifers and you've purchased some other bred heifers from off the farm and you're bringing them in. Those purchased bred heifers need to be quarantined for at least 30 days just so you can monitor them. You can make for sure that they're not bringing in anything, ringworm, lice, some of those smaller issues that they're not a big challenge on their own, but whenever it affects the whole herd, it can really be a pain and kind of expensive to treat. So monitoring those things while those new animals are in quarantine before you commingle that stock is going to be helpful to your pocketbook. Whenever you are going between farms or between exhibitions, if you're a livestock shower, you want to make for sure that you're cleaning your equipment. And that includes the trailer, spraying that out, and then spraying it with some Vercon, a sanitizing agent. Make for sure that you clean all of the equipment inside the show box and halters and all of those different things, especially if someone borrowed your stuff. So you just don't want to bring anything home that is going to affect your stock. And then on the same token, when you're at these types of shows or exhibitions, make for sure that you're using your own equipment. Take your own water hose, your own water bucket, hay feeder, feed pans, things like that. And you're going to prevent a lot of headache later on.
Well, sure. And, you know, obviously some of those more minor, you know, irritants and diseases and that sort of thing are one thing, but yeah, this can lead to some serious stuff too if we're not careful, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Whenever we get in summertime and things are really moving around, there's lots of diseases that are transferred from farm to farm just by commingling at a different facility. And some of those with horses, sometimes we battle VSV, vesicular stomatitis virus. With cattle, we can battle all kinds of different things. The hog barns, they can be a real problem too, just with different skin problems. Just do your own, take your own equipment, and you're going to have a lot less problems later on.
Well, and obviously I'm sure that, you know, especially when, you know, we're going to the sale barns and that sort of thing, we want to make sure, you know, most people are going to check to, you know, have their livestock in tip top shape anyway, but that's another thing we want to be careful about, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, talking a little bit, switching gears, unless, yeah, anything else to share on that?
Nope.
So as far as, you know, switching gears, we do have a little bit, I know you want to talk about on the importance of colostrum.
Yes. So we do have some babies hitting the ground.
Yeah.
And it can be an exciting time, but when it's cold like this, it's very concerning for those newborns. And we need to make for sure that they get the colostrum within 1 hour of birth. And this colostrum really provides these newborns, regardless of species, humans included, that colostrum provides irreplaceable antibodies, all kinds of good stuff that newborn needs to get up and get going and survive well. Studies have shown that cattle especially that don't get the colostrum during that 1 hour from birth, they don't perform as well as weaned calves or stockers going throughout the segments of the industry. So that first hour of them being outside of their mama can really affect them later on. So it's very important that those newborns can get that colostrum.
So is this something that, you know, they get directly from the mother, or do we need to have some of this on hand?
Yeah, so lots of things happen, and just like with any birth, you want to keep some colostrum on hand. Whenever it's time for calving or lambs to be hitting the ground, you might just have some colostrum on hand or know where you can find some. And there is a difference between colostrum replacement and colostrum supplement. So a replacement product is actually a replacement product. So if the mother is not able to provide that colostrum to the newborn, then the replacement commercial product can be used. The colostrum supplement is used whenever we have a newborn that maybe has, they've probably gotten the colostrum and maybe they're cold. This time of year, we have a lot of calf sickles. That's what we call them whenever the hair are really, really cold and you need to warm them up. Maybe let them ride around in the floorboard of the feed truck or put them in the bathtub, whatever you need to do. And that might be the place to use that colostrum supplement.
Gotcha.
Yes. So that newborn needs the colostrum within 1 hour of birth. 15 minutes is better. The sooner that calf or lamb or sheep or goat, whatever it is, can find the udder and get that colostrum into their system, the warmer they're going to be and the better off they're going to be. They need, for a calf, 5 to 6 pints. For the smaller animals, obviously, they need less.
Yeah, yeah.
Their bellies are not that big. Yeah. Yeah. So keep the commercial product on hand or know where you can get it.
Then how does that have to be stored?
So if you are fortunate enough to be able to collect colostrum from other cows, then you can use that as a replacement and you would keep that frozen. Sorry, let me answer your question first. The commercial products are usually in powder form.
Okay.
So they're just kept at room temperature on a shelf. If you're able to get colostrum from other cows, then you would keep that frozen. And then you would be you would use caution when you're warming that up. You don't want to microwave it because that's going to kill all of the good nutrients. You want to warm it up slowly in some hot water, in a hot water bath. If you are using colostrum from other cows, from the same pasture or herd of cows is the best, or from your same farm is second best. But if you have to go off the farm, you just want to make for sure that you are following some of those biosecurity protocols, making for sure that those products are safe to bring onto your farm and feed to your newborns. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there could be problems bringing in other liquids from farms. Just use caution. Make for sure that you're using a source that you trust.
And of course, you know, this is going to be produced when, you know, the mother is pregnant or after, you know, after giving birth, right?
Yes. So the colostrum is formed during pregnancy. And so personal issues, I have had cows that will nurse each other and it's very annoying, very annoying. Because whenever that happens and as one cow gets closer to calving, then if you've got a cow that's nursing, then she's actually going to rob that colostrum. Mm-hmm. So if you've got that situation in your herd, and it's more common than what folks will
realize.
I've
seen that before, yeah.
Yes. take action and get that taken care of. And I'd be happy to discuss strategies with you.
I can just see you looking out your window and you
yes, it's so annoying. You know, you would think that they would know better. But it's not a difficult problem to fix. I'd be happy to visit with anybody about getting that taken care of.
Yep. We love it when animals do dumb things.
Yes. So back to the colostrum situation. As the newborn gets older within just a few hours. With calves, I do believe it's 12 hours. The ability for the abomasum, where the milk goes, is no longer able to absorb all of those goodies. So it's very important that those newborns get the colostrum within the specified amount of time. And lots of it, because as it gets older, within a few hours, that colostrum is no longer going to be useful. I mean, it's just going to be digested just like every other food product. So it's very important, that timeliness.
Gotcha. Pretty fascinating stuff here. And we appreciate you bringing that to our attention. So as we kind of wrap up here, Wendy, let's mention one more time the Okane Cattle Conference coming up next month. Definitely something of interest to a lot of folks out there.
Yes. RSVP deadline is January 31st, and it's going to be a great program. So give us a call or go online to get registered.
Excellent. So, yeah, we'll be providing some more details there and reminding you of it as we get a little bit closer to February, but and really the end of the month as far as registration goes. But it'll be a good event over here at the Coffeyville Rec, so we're happy to have that.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Wendy. Well, appreciate you coming on by here this morning, as always. And I look forward to talking again here real soon.
Yes, that'll be great.
All right, Wendy Powell here on a Green Side Up program brought to you by Green Acres. So, coming up next, we do have an early bird edition of Open Line just a few minutes away here on the Mighty 690.